good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all seated in heavenly places. We are now going to continue our study in the Gospel of John. We've gotten to chapter 5 at about verse 16. Jesus had just healed the man who couldn't make it to the pool because he didn't have anyone to carry him down to the water. Later on, when the Pharisees, the Jews who were in charge of the temple, saw him carrying his bedroll, because Jesus told him to pick up his bed and walk, they questioned him about it because he was breaking the Sabbath by doing labor, you know, carrying his bed on the Sabbath. And he told them that the man who healed me told me to do it. So they said, well, who's that man? He says, I don't know. Never saw him before. He didn't know who Jesus was. So Jesus catches up with this guy after he talks to the Jews. And he says to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. So he preaches the gospel to him. You know, change your mind about those things or something worse is going to happen to you. Examine your life, you know, and repent and learn obedience. That's what it means to repent, to change your mind about the things that are displeasing to God and to learn obedience. That's a process that goes on. We don't become instantly angels or something like that, okay? There's no magic going on here. It's hard work, and that's why it's called crucifying the deeds of the flesh. So the man, after he found out who it was, he went back to the Jews and he told him that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And they, therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. That's a pretty heavy penalty, you know, death. They wanted to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. They healed a man and told the man to carry his bed, right? But Jesus answers and said to them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So obviously there was an exchange which is not recorded here, but we get the gist of what Jesus told them. His authority was, my Father works here, and I work. Okay? Ah, on the Sabbath. If God can work, I can work. The Levites, you know, they were working in the temple on the Sabbath days, and, you know, God was working, and Jesus says, I can work too. So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. But when you use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh, then it becomes licentiousness. So Jesus was walking in liberty, and we should learn to walk in that same liberty and not be condemned when we do good. But as Paul said, do not use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. And I could draw a really simple illustration of using your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. And it would be like this, okay? I had lunch with some unbelievers because I was working for them at one time. And I preached the gospel to them while I was working as the occasion arose, because I was working independently, doing my own work. I was a carpenter. Imagine that. And so I preached the gospel to these people, and they invited me to lunch, and they served me Spam, which is a pork concoction. I walked in liberty, and I ate the Spam sandwich, because I knew that if I didn't, it would offend them, perhaps. And it was not as important for me to, you know, to have a pure thing, you know, like Peter, when he was in the Gentile's house, not to ask any questions, but to eat, right? But now, like, oh man, that Spam was pretty good. Next time I go to the grocery store, I'm going to stock up on that and start eating it because, hey, I have liberty. Well, no. Now what am I catering to? The flesh. I'm using my liberty as an occasion for the flesh. No, I'm going to continue to do what's right and pleasing to God. And God does not want me to eat things that he says aren't good for me. But I may have liberty to do it on one occasion, but if I practice it, now it becomes licentiousness. So we're not to use our liberty as an occasion for the flesh. Oh, I'm going to eat bacon because I have liberty and it tastes good and I like it. So I'm not going to stop eating it. See, that's called licentiousness. I'm using my liberty as license to cater to the flesh. So there it is. A simple, illustration. Yes. And there are other things you could, apply it to. So be careful about that. Use not your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. Okay. So how did they get off on that? Oh, yes. Working on the Sabbath in the temple. The Levites had license to do it, and we have license to do good on the Sabbath. And that's even in the law, so nothing has really changed. You'll find in the law, if your ox falls in a ditch on the Sabbath, you can even help your neighbor get his ox out of the ditch, okay, on the Sabbath, because his livelihood is now in peril. And if the ox isn't removed from the ditch immediately, it will perish, right? And the loss would be great. Okay, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. After he said that, after he defended himself by saying, my father worketh hitherto and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his father. Wow. You know, I say God is my father. glad nobody wants to kill me for that. And we even pray now, our Father, because Jesus taught us to pray. Yes. So I pray to the Father. Then answered Jesus and said to them, the conversation is going on. John records, verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, those also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Whoa. And that, you know, the quickeneth means giving them life. So he's saying that he can give life to the dead because the Father has done it and given it to the Son to quicken whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. Wow. This is who Jesus was. This is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. All judgment he has committed. The Father has committed all judgment unto the Son. And praise God, that's all I could say, that we have someone who's suffered and has been tempted, and as we are, so he was. But he never sinned. That's the difference between him and us. Yes, he suffered all these things. He was tempted as we are, but he never sinned. So all judgment has been committed to him. And what a wise and loving Father we have, that he does not judge us. God doesn't judge us. He's committed all judgment unto the Son. You know, that makes me smile. You know, that might get my endorphins going when I think about that. And all I can say is hallelujah and praise God, praise the Father, and that he has committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son. Yes, we honor him. He is our King. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is worthy of honor. Yes, indeed. And all judgment hath been committed unto him. Yeah, forgive me if I keep repeating that over and over, but it fills me with joy. That's right, it fills me with joy. When I read the Old Testament, and I read about, David, the man after God's own heart, and I see that David terribly failed but he has been judged righteous. And I have not failed as terribly as David has. Wow, that gives me joy. It gives me hope. You know, to know that David was judged righteous. You know, how much more me, you know? I'm not greater than David, obviously, you know? I look at what David wrote in the Psalms, the things that he did. And I'm not a great man at all. David was a great man, but he failed greatly too. Perhaps we fail in the same, what is it? Our failures are commensurate. That's what I'm looking for. Perhaps our failures are commensurate with our greatness. Okay? So the greater the man, the greater the failures. Yes. For our own sake. That we don't become puffed up, perhaps. So I'll say it again. I'll read it again. The Father judgeth no man. Hallelujah. The Father, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. So our honor of the Son should be equal to that of the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. So all of Mohammedan who say that God has no Son, well, they're not honoring the Son, are they? And they do not honor the Father. That means that the God that they worship is not the same God that we worship. If they don't honor the Son, they don't honor the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I have to say to that. I have passed, you know. I shall not come into condemnation. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Let me be one of those. But is passed from death into life. And you know, that's a present tense there. I have passed from death into life by faith. I hold it. I grasp it. I embrace it by faith. It is a fact of reality now in the present in my life. I have everlasting life. I shall not come into condemnation. I have passed from death unto life because of the gospel. Not because of an experience I had. Not because I felt something with my flesh or had an endorphin rush. But because of the word of God. Because of what Jesus has done for me in dying for my sins. If I feel nothing for the rest of my life, I have this reality from the Word of God. What else do I need? I need nothing else. I can live by faith in this. But God is merciful. And He will give me good feelings in my life. But I will also suffer in the flesh. I will have trials and tribulations. But thank God that I have more than trials and tribulations. That I have times of rest, times of refreshing, times of great joy, not only in the spirit, but in the flesh, because God is good. Verily, verily, I say unto you, chapter 5, verse 25, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. Do you hear? Then you shall live. Yes. Will you obey? Because if you hear it, you'll obey it. If you don't obey it, it doesn't matter what vibrations, what sound waves entered your cranial chasm by way of your ears. Okay? It doesn't matter. If you don't act on it, if you don't receive it, then you haven't heard it. As the saying goes, in one ear and out the other, no effect. Yes. So we're not just talking about a hearing, as in the vibrations hit, the sound waves went in your ears, but we're talking about a hearing and an acting upon what you hear. they that hear shall live. Because Jesus even said, hearing they shall not hear. Mm-hmm. He said it, right? So he's talking about a hearing that goes beyond just the mortal act. For as the Father hath life in him, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Yes. One of his titles, the Son of Man, the only begotten Son of God. He is not an angel. He is not merely a spiritual being, but he is the Son of Man, the seed, the second Adam, the seed, the second man created by God, but created as a seed and born of a virgin, the Son of Man, the Son of God. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear the voice. Yes, it wouldn't be long before all those that were in the graves would hear his voice and go on, move on to the resurrection of the dead, okay? And transcend time and go to that event, which is yet future for us. For us, the dead are dead and in the grave. But here, Jesus is expressing what Paul expressed in these words. To die is gain, or to be present with the Lord. Continuing, verse 29 of chapter 5. Yeah. And shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there are two resurrections. One that precedes the millennial reign of Christ, and one that is after the millennial reign of Christ. The first resurrection. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now when Jesus was crucified, and he spoiled principalities and powers, and it is recorded in the Gospels, that many came out of the graves, and they testified. Yes, where did they go? This is what Jesus was talking about here, that the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Okay? Those that have done good, they go immediately to the resurrection, which we will experience if we die, or if we live upon the if we are still alive upon the return of Christ, then we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as it was reported in Paul's epistle. Continuing, I can of mine own self do nothing, Jesus says. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Speaking of John the Baptist still. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. So what is Jesus saying about the signs and the miracles and the works which he has done? Yeah, I'll read it again. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, verse 37, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not, and ye have not his word abiding in you. He's still speaking to the Jews here. Quite a long sermon, I must add. And he says, ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come unto me, that you might have life, that ye might have life. But I, verse 41, chapter 5, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You know, I could apply this to what I see going on today in the corporate and the emerging and the establishment Christian media and the establishment Christian church today, corporations out there. They honor each other. They honor men. If you have a name, you know, they want you. You know, they'll listen to you. If you've got titles, they'll listen to you. And they love to put titles on. Pastor such and such, prophet, this guy, and bishop that, and pope this, and they love honor. And they honor one another. And we'll continue with Jesus' sermon to the Jews in the temple when we get back.